Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum, and welcome to this evening's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Our leader, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's speaking next month at Savior's Day in Detroit, he says we're going to have to find a house of our own. He said this is not our house. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have and how hard you work, this is not our house. So what we need to do is get a house of our own. And tonight's show, we're going to have a panel discussion, and we're going to discuss getting a house of our own. We're going to be discussing other things. We're going to follow up and discuss on the last few guests that we had in our show. We had several guests that are working on and have house of their own. We had Sister D. Dones of Shanti, Atlanta. They have a 13-acre farm and the Eagle Center. They're working on a house of their own. We had Sister Aljoa Aceteo of the Ella Jo Baker Intentional Community Cooperative. They have a house of their own. They're housing people with like minds and like interests. And from the looks of it, as she shared with us, they have peace in their house. We had the youth of the Nation of Islam talking about building Wakanda. That was a replay. We had that show recently. And we've also had Brother Eric Simpson of West Georgia's Farmers Cooperative. They're working on a house of their own. They're working on a credit union, and they're working on buying land and building a community. So it's time for us to do that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is the inspiration for separation. And we see that other communities are doing it. We talk about it. It's what we believe and what we want. It's time for us to start showing the rest of the world, in particular our people, that it's not just an idea that we have just for them, but it's up to us to show them the best example of a separate society and a separate community that is controlled and ran by us. So that being said, I'm going to bring on the Time to Leave founder, our brother, Dr. Ridgely. Well, that's not Dr. Ridgely. I think that's Sister Ann. Let's see. As-salamu alaykum. Is that Sister Ann?
Wa alaykum salam. I didn't know I was going to be the first guest. I'm just
well, you pushed that button.
Open.
You pushed
well,
that button, Sister Ann. So.
Well, I was getting my line open because I know this is the night for just the discussion. And I wanted to make sure my line was open so that if I had comments, I could chime in.
Okay, well, that being said, we have some other people that pushed the button. We looks like we have Sister Majida, Dr. Richard. Let's see if they're ready to talk yet. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum salam, Brother Carlton and Sister Ann. How are you all doing this evening?
Fine.
Praise be to Allah. I was listening to you, Sister Ann. Yes, you know, and let me just say this. We hope the listeners are out there listening because what we want to do, you know, we want to entertain your thoughts and your comments and your ideas with regards to separation. We don't want to fill up the airwaves. We really want to hear from the listeners, you know, be able to comment and share in what you all have to say. So I want to just take this moment to try to encourage those that are listening and have been listening to help make this show what you want it to be.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Majida. Dr. Ridgely, awesome leg on.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. See, both of us are coming from Macon, because Sister Ann had to get a car fixed, and I had to take her up there as we're coming back. So we're on the road, so that's why she was just opening her line, because she, you know, we're just trying to get home. But we always, me and Sister Ann, always working on how are we going to get our people to understand the necessity to separate and to go on our own. As a matter of fact, Brother Carlton, I was meant to tell you something last night and also today when I talked to you. So you know how I'm getting up in the age, and when I do come up with it, even though it might not be, you know, in line with the conversation, I got to ask you to do this. But it is in line with the conversation. I was listening to PBS, and Gloria Gaynor did this song. I don't know you all may be too young. You know that song, I Will Survive?
Right.
Of course.
I Will Survive. Well, I just liked the words. I mean, it was a great hit song. I just liked the words of it, because you know she was telling this man, it's like we should be telling Uncle Sam, you know, I know that you thought that I can not live without you, you know, but you know, I will survive as long as I have love to give. You know, I will survive. In other words, if you don't love me, guess what, I still have love in me, but for somebody else when they come along. Well, we feel that way about our people. You know, we are not going to try to love everybody. Okay? Forget that. Not even going to try that. Nope. And definitely not going to love my enemy. Nope. So then, if I don't love everybody, and if I don't love my enemy, then I got more room to love my family, friends, and my people. Even though my people may be crazy as a bedbug, and they may be still in love with Master, mm-hmm. I love them enough to present to them an alternative, but I don't love them enough to go down with them, though. I mean, they just want to hold on to Massa as Massa sinks off into oblivion. Well, they just have to do that. But, you know, I'm going to reach out my hand if they really to grab onto it without trying to yank me in the hole with them.
Mm-hmm.
We will try to pull them out. So, but that song, you know, I think that that's a Brother Carl, to get a chance, see if you can find and listen to it. And I would like to just try that. I already talked to the band about it. As a theme song when we close out, you know what I mean? To because that's what it's all about. We will survive. We believe we can survive. That's just why we don't mind separating. But, of course, if you don't believe that you can do without them, then I can see why you would want to stay with them, because you just don't believe in yourself. You believe in them. No matter how bad they treat you, no matter how they kick you, they spit on you, they throw you out the house, you still running back, knocking on the door. Somebody, did I offend you? Did I say something wrong? No, nigga, you just black. Well, I can't do anything about that. You know what I mean? Come on, man. So we're not going to be like that. We're going to be like Gloria Gaynor.
Right.
We will survive. So, you know, I just, you know, check that out, Brother Carlton, and I would like us to try that for a while. Leave when we, so when we leave the air, we leave something in the air and telling the enemy and the Negroes we're going to survive.
Yes, sir.
You know, and prosper.
Yes, sir.
But the first
right.
part is
right.
we're going to survive. Cause that's,
right.
I, Negroes really do not believe. And like I told y'all before, I never understood Negroes until I got a dog. And Cheetah really made me understand how Negroes feel towards Master by me watching Cheetah, how Cheetah acted towards me even after over and over again. I told Cheetah, I don't want you no more. I don't want you on the farm no more. I tried to run Cheetah off the farm another number of times with the tractor, trying to run her. And Cheetah next day would come right back. And Cheetah stayed on the farm, you know, until Cheetah died last year. And, I miss Cheetah. But Cheetah wouldn't do right. So I wanted Cheetah to go, but Cheetah wouldn't go. But Cheetah finally died. But I tell you, that's just a Negro for you. You treat them like a dog, they love you. You try to treat them right, they try to bite you. Okay, but so I understand Negroes then. So I'm not gonna let them bug me to death. They love Master, and until Allah does something so egregious, you know, something happens so egregious that they just have to leave Master. That may be what it takes, you know. But we know there are some people out here who are working their way back to you, to Allah, working their way back home. Okay, they're working their way. They got to put things in place so that they can make a transition. They're working on that. So we're out here for you. We have a manual. Our brother Carlton, Sister Majita put together this manual about how to make that move. So if you don't know how to make that move, order you one of those manuals. And a step-by-step process of how you go through the mental process of doing your pluses and minuses and your resources so you can make that move. So with that, I'll leave it back over to the rest of the panel. If there's any particular thing you want to ask me, you can. But I like that song, I Will Survive. I really like that song. I mean, yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
I have a question, Dr. Ridgely, with regards to that analogy you just made with your dog and the Negro.
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you think it's just a matter of love, or was it that you were, because from what you just said, you know, you try to run it off and run it over. Is it also just the fact that we think we're in love with him because he's providing what we think we need and what we want, that we can't do that for ourselves?
Well, you know, I stopped feeding him. I stopped feeding. I didn't put out no water. I didn't even mention his name, and he still wouldn't leave. Now, true that when he was a little, let me tell you how I picked the dog up. I was riding down the road, and I saw these two puppies going across the road. And I came back down the road, and they were on the other side of the road, and I'm thinking, they're going to get run over. You know, they didn't get run over. So I stopped, and I approached them, and one of them ran away, okay, and the other one came towards me. Well, that was Cheetah. He came towards me. And so I picked Cheetah up, and I put him in the back of the pickup truck. Now, I had noticed that in the corner of the woods there, next to the road, right at the edge of the woods, was the mother. And the mother was looking on, and it was like, I hope that this is a good home, you know, for my child. Didn't bark, didn't say nothing. And so I watched the dog as I drove off slowly, because you know, in case the dog changed her mind and wanted her puppy back, you know, I was gonna stop and let the puppy out. You know what I mean? But she just sit there looking like, okay, have a good life. And so I took the puppy home and I took care of the puppy, you know, and it was going pretty good until the puppy wanted to come in the house. I had a friend of mine who built a dog house. It's still there now. Real nice dog house. Didn't want to stay in the dog house. The dog saw me and my wife going into the big house. And the dog felt that it should go into the big house too.
Wanted to be closer to the Savior.
Wanted to be closer to the Savior, to the Master. I mean, you know, it's like in slavery. You know, everybody wanted to be in the big house. So that wasn't happening. Then when he got older, what he would do to get back at my wife was to tear up her outdoor pillows on her furniture and on outdoors. And you know, that will not do. I mean, he made me make a choice between him and my wife, and he lost. Okay, but he just would not accept it, his position. He would not accept his position. He would not go for himself.
Wow.
Even
that's
after
going away.
Took the food away, he still would not go away.
Wow.
That was the darndest thing. And then every time company would come, he would come. So, you know, I've been trying, you know, he never hurt nobody, never tried to bite nobody, bark at nobody. You know, everybody loved it when they came to get their stuff off. And then he would come, and, you know, I said, sit. And, you know, he wouldn't sit. And then when everybody gone, he'd come, and I tell him to sit. He'll sit right down. I said, look at this. This Negro know exactly what he's doing.
Okay?
But guess what? You ain't coming to my house. All right? It ain't happening. So, again.
So we know that separation is the best and only solution for us, but we just refuse to accept it.
Okay. Last week, you know, we went on almost at the brink of a nuclear war with Iran, America and Iran. And Trump, I think Monday, made the statement that they're going to blow up 52 cultural sites. And I'm thinking, cultural sites? What does Trump know anything about no culture? What cultural sites? That's why I posted, you know, who is his master? You know, who's the puppet master? He don't know no about no cultural sites. And then why would you attack somebody's cultural site? The culture of a people is what holds them together. So he was going at the jugular. He was going at the soul. They backed off because that's international. That's illegal. International. That's a war crime to go after the cultural site or icons or churches of a people. But that's what they've done to us ever since they tore us from our home. And they had to take us down to the islands for 64 years to break us from the knowledge of our home, to break us from the love of our home, and to break us from seeing each other in a good frame. We only saw Master. So he took our culture, our love for ourself, he took that out of us, and he put in us the white Jesus, and him being that which we were supposed to love. And so we're still walking around in his name. We're still believing in his God. And so no matter what he does to us, because we want to feel whole, to be a part of the culture of America, we would accept any little crumb or token of hope, keep hope alive because of you believe in their culture. But when you come into the Nation of Islam, you take on the culture of Master Farad Muhammad. You take on the culture of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so those who really believe in the culture of God want to be with people who believe in that same culture, that same God.
Mm.
But if you don't believe in it, then it's difficult to break away from one culture to go into that which you don't believe in. It ain't going to happen. And so this is the drawback. How do we burn the love of this world out of our hearts? And even those who come into the nation, because God promises money, good homes, friendship, all walks of life, luxury, and this world now is willing to provide that for us. Well, before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started teaching us that the enemy, the devil, was not going to allow us to have good homes, money, and friendship, and all walks of life, and luxury. He kept those things from us. But then he learned, well, look, we'll give them those things to pull them away from the God, the promise of the God. So he allows to have better jobs now. So we get in debt, get a nice home. That we're finding out now, a lot of people find that nice homes are not nice at all. Like, the water system is messed up. They can't wash. I'm talking about from real, this is something real. They can't use a washing machine. They can't use a dishwasher. They can only take showers. They can't take baths because the plumbing, not for just their house, but for all the houses in that development, brand new development. But the infrastructure was not right. And now they have serious plumbing problems in a fine home on the outside, but messed up on the inside. All because they just wanted to have the American dream. That house in a nice neighborhood with white folks. And now everybody's suffering. So until we can burn that desire for this world out of us, unfortunately, a lot of us will go down with it. So me, you, and I, and us, we can't burn it out. That's between them and Allah.
Right.
We're just providing a place for those who burn it out, and they're burned out from this system, and they want to develop a new system, be with the believers, be with people who believe in themselves. Then that's what we provide for them, that opportunity. But that's something they have to grab for, because we sure cannot make that happen. So I went pretty long on that. I'm sorry about that. But yes, I don't know why that dog wouldn't leave. I treated him bad. Okay, but it was just, I guess, because I picked him up. Remember now, that 64 years, they told us they found us swinging in trees.
And
they picked us up from that savage condition
and
gave them civilization. That's what they taught us.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that dog up off the road, and I gave him some food and a place to stay in safety when he was a baby, and he never forgot that.
Yeah, we see the clear parallel.
But thank you for sharing that with us. So now we have another comparison that we can share when we're discussing our people. So I want to ask both of you and also the listeners. We had several of the past shows that were pretty good examples of community building. I was wondering, Sister Majida, Dr. Ridgely, or Sister Ann, or anyone who wants to call in, what was your favorite show? What impressed you most about our guests that were on any of the past shows?
Well, I like the Ella Baker, the sister representative, Ella Baker, because in talking with her, I learned a lot of information. In particular, how like there are nonprofits around who will loan you money to set up. In their case, they bought and refurbished some old apartment buildings in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are places that will help us in terms of money. And that the key element is that they had something to draw them together, because they were not from the same physical location. They were from different
mm-hmm.
places in D.C. But because they had something in common, that was a burning desire to be with those of that type, they made it happen. So, again, if you have a burning desire, if you have something, some type of culture, a religion that you believe in so strongly that you would want to be around those people in the community, then you can make it happen. And they
mm-hmm.
showed how they made it happen. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I was impressed with that as well. What about you, Sister Majida?
Yes, sir. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a favorite show, but the show that we had last week I thought was interesting, the information that the sister was sharing. I think the whole idea of intentional communities, because it caused me, I know, to look more into what an intentional community is. And, you know, I just thought it was interesting. Sister, the site, what was it, Shanti Atlanta, they actually when I went to the site, they actually had some information with regards to intentional communities. And if I can just share some of what is there. And then just trying to get a visual for ourselves, you know, if we can even see that truly happening, you know, in our own minds. And it says, just read a little bit. It says, an intentional community is a community of like-minded people. Like Dr. Ridgely just said, that community, they were like-minded and had a common interest and culture, and that helped them solidify themselves. And it says, people that live together share land and resources in an eco-village, co-housing community, residential or community land trust, cooperative living, et cetera. And then it talked about some of the examples of what intentional communities do. It says they buy land together as a group and build individual homes, and I guess they call that co-housing. They grow food together by creating a garden or farm. Well, we have a farm. They build affordable small eco-homes to eliminate debt and live a simpler life. And I did get that out of our sister Dee, you know, when she was sharing out what it is her, for lack of a better word, her community or organization does, and I got that sense that they're going back to living a simpler life. Also, environmentally conscious, building with natural materials, earth bags, storage containers, et cetera. And then it talked about most communities have houses built close together and share a courtyard or common area, a shared community house that is the center of all group activity, share common meals once or twice a month. Residents do a few hours of land maintenance each week, and residents volunteer as a community, and again on the garden and farm. And so when you think about that, when I was reading it, when I first read that, you know, you try to get a visual of us, you know, being in that type of community, you know, and again, being able to visualize making that kind of community happen. And then I think about what the sister said, because, you know, they tried to do that with the Shanti Atlanta. And in contrast to what, you know, Dr. Ridgely, what you just shared about that community that, you know, they had everything going for them and such a strong common interest, I thought it was interesting. And I believe she said, too, in the, what is it, the Ella Baker? Is that the right name for that community? She said that they did volunteer work. People, you know, put in volunteer time to work, you know, maintenance and things like that, because you're working for yourself. So just to make sure everything is, you know, as it should be. This is your home. This is your community. You know, you want it to grow and be right. And in contrast, you know, I thought it was interesting that our sister last week, Sister Dee Dones, she said one of the reasons why, you know, they struggle, well, reasons. She said one, you know, they couldn't get, what did she say? They couldn't get funding for what they wanted to do. And she said you have to have people that are willing, not just to work. She had a descriptive I guess that would be an adjective for the type of work. She said you have to have people willing to work hard.
Oh, woo, that's too, hey, that is two four-letter words.
No, work hard, yes, sir. Right, and I just thought it was interesting. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I just found that contrast between those two shows, one finding their, I guess, their path and making things work for them, you know, and then another one who, you know, in their attempt, you know, had their struggles and their obstacles.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
No, but what's fascinating about it is that when we were in our communal state, and then right after slavery, okay, when they found us in Africa, we liked working. And we work together in groups. It's like we would get together, and we build you your house, right? And then we get together and we build you my house. So what I'm saying is that we would work, but everybody understood that working was a part of life. Now,
right.
In slavery, they took our work from us and gave us nothing. Okay, but then that didn't break us because they thought. This is very telling. They really, really thought the Southern whites, slave owners, really thought that after slavery, and we were set free, that we would die in the wilderness.
Mm.
We would die without them because we were the only reason for their existence. I mean, they felt that the slave master, that the slaves all really did see him as God. And that without him, they could not survive because they had to act stupid if they would live. If they were to show forth some independent thought, they may be killed. So they would acquiesce under the pressure and act stupid. And so they thought that they were stupid. But when we got loose in the woods, they found out later on that we was building a world. We was building Wakanda all over the South. Okay, we had 16 million acres of land. So we did not mind working. All we knew was work. In slavery, all we knew was work. And so now we took those work ethics and we used our labor for ourselves. We were the carpenters, the plumbers, the ditch diggers, the well diggers, the farmers, the cookers. We were all of that. And so now we took that and we used that for ourselves. However, over the last 50 years, they have taken us off of manual labor, have made fun of manual labor, not just farming, but any form of manual labor. And everybody wanted to get a briefcase, wanted to go to college and work in an office somewhere. And now nobody wants to do any hard work. Nobody wants to work with their hands. Okay? And, of course, the enemy knows that if you're not willing to do something for yourself, then you will do nothing for yourself, and you will depend on them for everything.
Right.
And that's where we are. We don't want to work hard. What we consider work is, you know, for those of us who have security contracts, I'm not beating up on you, but guess what? That ain't work. You sitting around in a guard booth somewhere, watching people work. It's like, you know, watching people. And then if something breaks loose, then you do have to go to work. But in the meantime, you ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting there looking. So that's not work, man. You ain't making nothing happen. So we have gotten used to get paid for doing nothing. And so it's hard now to get us to do something because we done got used to doing nothing. So the last trick over the last 50 years was to make us lazy as hell. They used to claim the black folks was lazy. Now we are. They have made us that way. And so now we got a serious problem. God is sitting on the sidelines watching the world go by instead of participating. So we used to be the God of this planet. We used to make things happen. And now we're sitting around trying to meditate how we go float a pencil in the air. Instead of taking the pencil and write out a plan and make it happen, we're trying to meditate on how to make a pencil float.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we've got a caller. First, I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, if you enjoy listening to this conversation and it's something you want to ad lib, press the 1 on your dial and we'll bring you in. And we have a caller, with the last 4 digits, 1965. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother William Muhammad. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for what you're doing. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can now.
I thank you very much for what you're doing with this show. And I'd just like to share with you that there's a few of us here in the city of Louisville that have recognized that the nation can truly not raise any higher than its woman. And we're in the process of engaging in a training facility that will be run by the sisters at the behest of the brothers. And we're coming
Can you repeat that again? I didn't hear you well.
We are in the process of establishing a training facility for young men and women that is going to be run by the sisters. And we have sisters. We realize that the nation can rise no higher than its woman. And we have submitted our will to do the will of Allah. There are not a lot of us, but there are a few of us that I think that can make a difference. We're establishing a training facility, and we're in the process of engaging in that training facility by employing the new recruits to start in the renovation process of facilities to show that we can work. It's a process, as Dr. Ridgely knows, and we plan to go through with that process. And we have investors that want to invest in what we're doing. As a matter of fact, the investors are women. And we want to try to make that go, and I want to know what can you contribute or give me advice upon and how to deal with that. For whoever wants to respond.
Well, I don't know enough to give you advice except to continue to do what you're doing and then let us know more about what you're doing. And, you know, if you have particular questions, you can, you know, ask a particular question. But I think that what you're doing is beautiful. I mean, I think that what you're doing is beautiful. And if you got the sisters to back you in it and to work with you in it, I think that's great. All praise due to Allah, because somebody got to do some training.
Yes, sir. Well, the sisters are going to be funding the program, and they're going to be giving the ideas, and we have other individuals that are going to fund the program. But I want the sisters to give me ideas, and I would love for any sisters to have any input on this program to help me further along in this process. I will be commenting from now on what we're doing, because I need all the advice that I can get.
Okay.
Crazy.
Well, you know, Sister Familia, and Sister Ann, and Sister Magida, you know, y'all are all friends anyway. So
yes,
that may be something that y'all can start having a little conference, you know, calls on it just to discuss what's going on with that. Because those things require, you know, every baby requires nursing along. It sounds like a great idea.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your call, Brother William.
Yes, sir.
So there are people trying to do something. That's the thing. You know, there are people
trying
to do something, and they don't necessarily come out and tell you all that they're doing, because the Minister Farrakhan has already told us that a baby don't come forth from the womb until the baby has a pretty good chance of making it. As things are being developed in the dark, sometimes you don't need to let people know too far in advance what you're up to. But then after a while, you let some people who can nurture what you're doing, you let them in on it. And then once you get it nurtured to a point that it can make it on its own, then you can seek others to make it the process of growth faster. But you already got a plan that you can make it without them. So anything that you get after that is gravy. But you never want to put yourself – I'll give you an example. I've been working with the Southwest Georgia, Western Georgia Cooperative. And one of the stories that the brother from the area gave to us was about really a grocery store, cooperative-owned grocery store right around the corner of where I used to live in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, it's the old Winn-Dixie in which I saw my Malcolm X sweatsuit walking in the door.
Okay? Oh, okay.
And from there, I was able to get my stuff back. But they have been, they got money, $5 million. They raised it to open up this full-scale cooperative grocery store, but they closed down in 2 years.
Wow.
And they closed down in 2 years because the money came from outside that community. They never got the people in the immediate community to buy in. Now, of course, for the grand opening, you would have people coming from all over the country to come and participate in the grand opening. But then they go home. And they're not there every week to support it. It's going to have to be the people locally who buy into it.
That's fine.
If you can't get people locally to buy into it, then even though you got the money, the startup money, $5 million to open it up, you couldn't sustain it because you did not get the buy-in from the people who are in the end are going to have to support it on a weekly basis.
Right.
So
right.
Sometimes it's best to start small, and that was the smart thing to do, to start small so that you have a base that you can depend on. And then you grow from that base that you can depend on to reach out to others. But sometimes you can get a lot of people who like an idea, but yet they don't understand how to sustain it. So, yeah, they give you money to get it started, but then they can't be there to sustain it because guess what? They got a life someplace else. So for a grocery store to make it, you have to have people right there. Now, you have some type of online shopping thing. Well, of course, as long as you got a way to get it shipped to them at a reasonable price, then you can do it from anywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. But for a grocery store where people got to come in, it's going to have to be within a couple of miles at the max of that physical location. Mm-hmm. Anything outside of that, they're not coming on a regular basis. And you need them coming on a regular basis to take care of the overhead. So sometimes it's best to start quiet, start small, and then blossom.
So, Dr. Vision,
and then people don't know where it came from. Yes, sir.
Now, they're also starting a credit union. What do you think, how important is that in what they're trying to do? And do you think it's that's an endeavor that a community should start early in their development or later on during their development?
Well, the key factor is community. I mean, you can't just put up a credit union in a place. There's people around, but are they a community? Do they see eye to eye? Do they trust one another? Okay? Or are they just physically close, but not mentally close?
Okay.
So my whole thing with the brother who's trying to do this is that I have yet to see how he has grown his customer base for either the grocery store or the credit union. Okay? The first thing for a co-op to work is education of the people who you expect to participate. So if you expect people to participate in a credit union, you're going to have to get local buy-in. Okay, for instance, Brother Carlton, me and you tomorrow, we're going to take care of some business, right? But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You wanted that location somewhere close, didn't you?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So, yes, but still, you got to deal with proximity. It's got to be enough people close enough to it to support it. And to say you're going to do a credit union, people don't want to deal with a credit union in another town. They don't have to drive to the credit union in another town for the services that they need. People want to deal with something local because they want their money right now when they need it. So, again, you know, you got to, you know, one thing they say about a business, location, location, location. Now, if you are dealing with some online financing, you know, it's an online system and everybody's it's online and you get customers that way, you can handle that, okay. But if something that people got to come into to utilize, well, then it's got to be in close proximity because gas ain't cheap and time ain't cheap either.
Right. So you see, it all boils down to, actually what you said earlier, you were talking about President Trump attacking cultural sites in Iran. And you said the culture is what holds the communities together. So basically, if a community has a common culture, you got a strong community, then it's not a hard sell to get a community to support a grocery store or a credit union. But if your community is not tight at all and they don't have a common cultural or perceived to have a common culture or a common faith or a common goals, then they see no reason to patronize something, and especially if they don't see you know, the value in it.
Well, I mean, it's like gravity. So, gravity will suck things to it, but a lack of gravity, things will float away.
Mm-hmm.
And culture is like human gravity, soul gravity. Okay, it pulls people in. If you don't have anything that's gonna pull people together to pull them in, then everybody got their own agenda. You know what I mean? Their own priorities, their own life. They tell you in a minute, man, I got a life. I can't be doing this every week. I got a life. So they have a life outside of what you're trying to do. And if that pull of that world is greater than the pull of what you're trying to accomplish, then that world is going to pull your people away.
Mm-hmm.
This is the purpose of advertisement. This is the purpose of football games and basketball games and advertising, is to keep you
constantly
pull,
keep your mind on where they want it to be.
Where they want it to be. So you got to have something that's going to hold the people together so that they can fold their money together.
And we got, let's see, I think we got a caller. We got a caller on the line. Let me open the mic. Caller with the last four digits, 4953. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Bianchi Cowan. I had a call in about somebody said that Trump is ordering culture sites to be destroyed in Iran. You know,
yeah,
he did it on Monday.
He said that
on Monday. Wasn't ISIS that went into Syria and was tearing up the temple of Nimrod? Didn't the Taliban and also ISIS say they get a chance they're going to blow up the pyramid? The limestone that covered the Great Pyramid of Khufu, wasn't it Sheikh Amani that took all the limestone off and used it to build Mars around Cairo?
Yeah.
I mean, who was it talking about going to destroy the libraries there in Timbuktu? It was Muslims.
Yes. So you're saying that Trump is it's okay for Trump to destroy sites?
I never heard Trump was going to destroy sites. You know, some of those sites have been declared by UNESCO as World Heritage Sites.
Yeah.
So, no, and I'm happy as hell that Trump took out that terrorist. He should have been taken out. Now, I can understand this. You know, in the African-American community, not all of them, but in a certain area, like in North St. Louis, you have about 95% of the crime never been solved, including murder. And therefore, people that commit these crimes, they get away with it. But when you kill an American, this country will hunt you down like a rabid dog. It may take 10 years, but they're going to get you. And I'm glad that I live in a country that's like that. And I tell you,
what tell your country. Tell your country. Let me tell you something about your country. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan, in 1989, he spoke to your country.
He did what?
And he told your country. He spoke to your country in a press conference. In the press conference, he told your country.
Yeah.
That.
Well, I haven't heard Farrakhan lately. I can't find him on YouTube. I'm sure I can't find him on Facebook. But I just wanted to put that out there, fellas.
Let me tell you what he said. We got a plane. Our plane can destroy your American country in 12 hours. Take that or leave it alone.
Well, you know, in St. Louis, Mars number 28, the members don't send their children to Ibrahim Muhammad School there on Natural Bridge in Garrison. If they could achieve that rather than sending their kids to the Catholic high school, you would have achieved a whole lot. I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother. Let me explain.
Let me explain something to you, my brother.
Let me explain something to you, my brother. I know about all the problems that we have in our Nation of Islam. But you know what?
And I like the Nation of Islam, especially
Let me tell you. That's right. What happened to that? What happened to it? Do you know? You still there?
What about that really long hub? What is that
one? Are you still there?
No, he's not.
Okay, whatever. Okay, cool. Well, I just want to let him know that the Nation of Islam was taken down by Walid D. Muhammad. And Mr. Farrakhan has put up a whole new Nation of Islam. And he's doing, as far as I'm concerned, he's doing a great job because his job is to tell the truth. It's up to us to carry
the truth.
Right. So any problems that are in the Nation of Islam are problems with us as believers not carrying through the program that Minister Farrakhan has laid out. And we, in the Ministry of Arab Culture and the Time to Leave movement, are doing all that we can to carry forth those directives. And those who wish to go our route with us, we thank them very much. And those that who do not, well, that's on them, between them and their God.
Praise
okay, anybody else?
No callers on the line right now. No trolls out there calling and looking to disrupt. So that's a good thing. So,
well, you know,
we are down.
It's good for those like he to show up, because it lets us know we must be doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they felt,
yes, sir,
if they felt it necessary to waste their time talking negatively about us, we must be worth their time.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank them very much. The more, the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
We know where they stand, and we know that we are standing on firm ground because they bother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't go, since like on Facebook, I don't go on people's Facebook page who do not agree as we agree, unless I'm asked
mm-hmm.
to.
Right.
I don't go around looking for people to mess with. However, people come on my Facebook page and mess with me and then say stuff like, you put too much junk out on your page. I'm going like, how you know that? What are you doing on my page? If you think what I put out is junk. But the fact is, the fact that you come on my page lets me know that it must be something worthwhile that you don't like. Because I don't come on your page to talk about, that's one of the first things I do. When people come on my page talking junk, I go straight to their page and see how many people are responding to them on their page. And in most instances, ain't nobody there. So just like the brother who called in, where is this following? So it's easy to throw stones at other people, but the
mm-hmm.
question is, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So we thank him for
right.
calling in to let him know that the enemy does know what we're doing.
And, you know, I was
okay, we're
was
down
gonna,
to the oh, – go ahead. Just close the tape. Go ahead, Sister Medina.
I was just going to say he bears witness to when we think about in the Muslim program where the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says and what the Muslims want. He says, we want every black man and woman to have the freedom to accept or reject being separated from the slave master's children and establish a land of their own. So we know everybody does not want to leave. As the brother just said, he's happy for his country and the way it's being
right.
run. So
you
he has the freedom to accept or reject. So we know they're out there. So we're looking for the of the willing.
That's right.
Okay, so any closing statements? Down to the last couple of minutes. Any closing statements?
Well, I would just like to talk about one thing the brother said about that the Arabs came and defaced the pyramids and so forth. Well, everybody defaces us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It ain't just the Arabs. It ain't just everybody defaces. Everybody talks against the black man, because at one time we were the god of the planet. And now that people
right.
have got us crushed underneath their feet, everybody takes a shot at us. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Allah came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad to us, and he raised up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now Mensa Farrakhan. So those people who have been crushed from the foundation of this world now are coming up. And guess what? We ain't scared and don't give a damn about you. So in case you want to roll up on us, guess what? We don't care, because we are going to push forward and build our Wakanda with or without you. Oh, yeah, roll it up. All right.